We're glad you're at the Lord's house this morning, and just pray that the Lord will bless you as you worship with us. Let me encourage the choir to be here tonight to sing. You know, it'd be bad if they'd have to recruit me. I mean, you know, it'd be pretty bad. So we look forward to that time of fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay. Yeah, that's all right. That's good. That's in case you do have to recruit me. You know, this morning, thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people will go into churches. Most of them will have a Sunday school, worship service, and some hundreds of them will leave saying something like this: "Man, that was a waste of time. That Sunday school teacher didn't have a clue of what that scripture was all about." And I've never heard a choir make a bigger mess out of a song than they did. And that preacher must have played golf all week, because that sermon just didn't make any sense at all. Now, I know none of you have ever said that. And I've said it more than once. Because sometimes I think we have a wrong concept of what it is. Now, you know, right here in our bulletin it says Sunday worship. What makes it a worship service? Is it how good the choir is? Is it how good the pastor is? What makes it a worship service? Is a real worship service not a time and a place where we focus on God? Now, good music and good preaching can help us to focus on God. But you know, good music and good preaching can't make us worship. And you know what? Bad music and bad preaching can't keep you from worshiping if you really can't with a heart for God. If when you left the home this morning, the thought in your mind and in your heart was, "I am going to meet the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, my Lord, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I am going to meet and fellowship with Him today." You can do that, whether or not the music is good or the preaching is good. Now, I like good music and I like good preaching. It makes a difference. But I can worship the Lord whether or not that happens or not. Hadn't thought about it in years, and then this morning when I was thinking about this, I thought about a church that my wife and I have privileged to visit maybe a half a dozen times several years ago. And they had a bigger open space than this in comparison to the size of the building. And we got there, as visitors, and we sat it about the middle way down, and there were others sitting around. But you know what amazed me? Is it all around the front in that open space were little groups of families. Mom and dad and the kids. And the kids may be as small as these, on up to older kids. And these little groups as families were praying together. It wasn't loud, boisterous prayer, but it was audible enough that you could tell that they were praying out loud. And the amazing thing to me was that occasionally somebody that could sing would just sort of sing a little chorus, and another one over here. And it was not discordant at all. It was not a confusion. It was almost like the quiet movement of a symphony. Symphony? Symphony, whatever, you know, where all those instruments play. You know? It was just a beautiful move. And then at a certain time, these family groups would get up and they'd come and they'd lay their offering on the altar at the front of the church. And then they'd go and, you know, they took their seat. Well, I had already worshiped and the service hadn't started yet. There hadn't been any planned music and there wasn't a sermon. But I had already worshiped because in the quietness and in the prayer and in the giving, hearts had already been pointed toward God. And I can't begin to imagine the effect it had on those little children as they came Sunday after Sunday and year after year and gathered as a family and prayed and gave to God. You see, real worship is that. It's our giving to God. You know, you've got a church budget here and you're going to vote on it and all of that, and you know, you've got to do that. But when you give, come, imagine, I'm handing this to Jesus. This is my love offering to you this week, Jesus. When we come into the worship service, it's, Lord, I'm here to honor you today and to let you know how much I love you. And I'm also come, Lord, to make myself available to you. Is there somewhere you want me to go this week? Something you want me to do? Some ministry you want me to do? Lord, I worship you and I offer myself to you. We come singing. And there are great praise choruses. There's great hymns. If sung with reverence and worship and awe. And even, you know, there's some like, Come Thou Almighty King and to God be the glory and worship the King and holy, 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 that are definitely designed for worship. But there's some like Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. That's not really a worship hymn, but every time we sing that, I find myself saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to heaven and not hell. I find myself worshiping when we sing. You see, we worship as we sing. Does it make any difference? Does it really make any difference? Let's look at some verses in the Bible that talk about what happens when we really worship. Turn with me first to Psalm 22. Everybody knows Psalm 23, but what about Psalm 22? Psalm 22, verse 3 says this, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Psalm 22, verse 3, Thou art holy, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. God says, when you worship me, I show up. When you worship me, I show up and I come and dwell in the midst of that worship. I dwell in the midst of that worship. Sometimes we get to a stage in our life, we say, you know, I don't feel God, I don't understand, I just feel alienated from God, God's not as close to me as he used to be. Get off by yourself and just worship. Sing some good, and you don't have to have a good voice if you're off by yourself. Sing, read scriptures. Like the 100th Psalm and the 150th Psalm, all of the Psalms from 145 to 150 are worship Psalms. Read those and worship the Lord and tell him how much you love him and how much you honor him. And before you know it, you'll find out that he shows up. There's a verse in Isaiah 61 talks about putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of holiness, for the spirit of heaviness. You can get up every morning and put on woe is me, or you can get up every morning and put on the spirit of praise, the garment of praise, and experience the presence of the Lord. What happens when we worship? God shows up. Let's see something else that happens when we worship. Turn with me to Acts 4. Acts 4. And we'll be at verse 23. Acts 4, verse 23. Now, the background of this passage is, Peter and John had gone to the temple and they healed that man that was laying by the gate, been there forever, more it seemed like. And people couldn't deny, the leaders couldn't deny that this guy that been lame was now healed and was running around leaping and jumping and praising God. And so they told the disciples, don't do it anymore. Verse 18 says, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. They said, you go home and you keep your mouth shut. And so when you get to verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord, and they said, Lord, thou art God. See, they're praising God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto us thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy truth, thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, in praise, God shows up in your difficult times. The choir was just singing about the darkness that comes before the morning. We can go around saying, woe is me, and I never get any good luck, and it's always bad. If something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. We can have that attitude. Or in difficult situations, we can praise the Lord and come out victorious. Another, we won't look there, but another perfect example is over in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles, where Jehoshaphat faces three, and his people face three enemy armies. And they pray and they fast and they seek the Lord to find out what to do about it. And so the Lord says, just stand still and watch the salvation of your God. And the next morning, guess what? The strategy is the choir goes first in front of the army. Now that, I quit the choir, right whenever they said, we go in front of the army. But the choir goes out singing praises unto God, and the three enemy armies begin to fight one another and kill one another, two against one, and then after they've killed that one, then those two turn against each other. And before you know it, when Israel gets out there and they look over the hill, all they see is all the enemy soldiers slain, because they'd slain. And so they just go there and start picking up weapons and gold and silver and everything else that they need. It's all a great victory because they praise the Lord. What does it matter when you praise the Lord? Worship? God brings victory. Go on over to Acts 13. Acts 13. We looked at this a few weeks ago. And verse 1 of Acts 13 talks about the people there, Barnabas and Simeon and Niger and Lucius and Saul. And then it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, in other words, they worshiped, they praised, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said unto them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You see, in worship, God reveals to us His plan for our lives. You may be someone that's struggling. What do I do with my life? What's the next step I take? Where do I go from here? Is this a good choice or not? Spend some time in worship. Spend some time in the presence of God. And as you spend some time in worshiping God, you'll find that He shows up. He shows up and begins to reveal Himself and reveal His plan to you. Does it matter when you worship? It does. There's something else special about worship. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. The book of Revelation, chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and we'll start with verse 11. Revelation 5:11, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of times, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that in them, are heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. Every Sunday, we sing the doxology. Praise Him, all creatures here below. That's us. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. That's the angels and your loved ones that are in heaven. When you worship, it's like your loved ones in heaven are over here in the next room. And we are all worshiping our Lord and Savior together. There's a little lady at Prospect. She wasn't very circumspect, and you know, for the dignity of the church. But ever so often, she just raised her hand and said, praise the Lord. She was never out of order. And it was always at the appropriate time. You know, it was not, you know. And it's amazing how many times in the last 30 years I've pictured while we were singing the doxology or some other worship song, I've pictured Miss Ethel there in heaven praising the Lord. Now, you know, there are others, but somehow or another there was just something about her that just stood out because it was such a genuine, out-of-the-heart expression of love for Jesus. And over the years, I just picture her in heaven praising the Lord. Knowing that while I'm here praising the Lord, we're on the same team, we're in the same choir. And you've got loved ones in heaven. When you're singing that doxology, they're singing it too. Just blend your voices with theirs. One other thing, go to Acts, back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 46 and 47. Acts 2, verse 46 and 47. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with what? Gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. Praising God. You see, when we're praising and worshiping the Lord, we're a New Testament church. That was one of the characteristics of that New Testament church. We've looked at about a dozen in the last 3 months. But that was one of them. They were in praise and in worship of the Lord. Does it matter whether we worship? Oh, yes. It matters in your private life. It matters in your attitude. It matters in how you overcome victory and how you overcome defeat. It matters as to how we worship. The choir and the pastor can help you worship. But you can worship anywhere, anyhow. You can worship in the deadest church in the land if you're coming to meet your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords, your Almighty Savior. And we walk in victory. We walk in the presence of God when we worship. Now, I want to do something. I don't know whether y'all have ever done it, but probably have. I want to give anybody here that wants to stand up and say one thing that you're thankful for or one thing you praise God for. Don't have to be a long thing, but just, hey, I praise God for whatever. Anybody here that would like to stand up and say, I thank God for something.
Praise God. Oh, I'm sorry, too crazy.
I'm thankful for the family.
All right. Thank you.
I praise God for salvation.
Okay. Anybody else?
I praise God for the light of every day that we get to see.
All right. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, all right. All right, thank you.
I praise God for delivering me and all the other things that He has given me.
Okay.
Most importantly, my salvation.
All right. All right. Anyone else?
Praise God that He looked down on me and saved me and for memories.
Okay.
I'm so thankful for this church because this church has been my life.
Okay. Okay.
I praise God for the opportunities He gives us to serve Him.
Okay.
I praise God for saving me and giving me the strength to get through the hard times.
Okay.
I have one more.
Okay. Okay? Father, we bow before you this morning. We give you praise and honor and glory. Father, we think of those like Miss Ethel that are right now around the throne of God, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive that honor and glory and power. Worthy, worthy, worthy." And we join with those and with our brothers and sisters across the land and around the world to tell you that we love you, to tell you that we thank you. We appreciate you. We bow our knees before you to proclaim that you are God and there is none other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to sing a verse or two of a hymn. There's somebody here that needs Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Somebody that needs to make some other decision to share with the church. We invite you to come.